This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a production of Catholic Radio Indy. Now here's today's program.
This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello.
And we've got a couple of guests that we want to get to here in just a moment. But first, I want to thank everybody for our dinner. Had a very successful dinner just a couple of weeks ago now, or a few weeks ago. And we just couldn't do it without all of our volunteers that helped us out there. Did such a great job making everything run smoothly. And, of course, we want to thank everybody that attended as well and participated in our live auction and our silent auction. It was a fundraiser for Catholic Radio, and it did produce some of the funds that we needed to stay on the air. So thank you all very much for that, and we'll let you know as soon as we have a date for next year, because we want to see you again.
Yes, that was a great time. Well, today in studio, we are going to be talking about the O'Connor House, and we have with us Chris Busick, who is the founder of the O'Connor House, and we have Nancy Imhoff, who is the development director. Did I say that correctly? If I didn't, you can just correct me.
It was perfect, Bridget.
Okay, great. Well, welcome to Faith in Action.
Thank you for having us. Mm-hmm.
Okay, now the O'Connor House, where did you come up with that name, and what is the O'Connor House?
So, the O'Connor House is a Christian home where we help single women in crisis pregnancies and their children. And it's located in Carmel.
Okay.
Our mission, we like to say, is through God's care and mercy, we provide a home and loving support to transform the lives of homeless, single, pregnant women and their children. The name really came, I would have to kind of tell the story of
how
it started.
That's what we do here at Catholic.
Okay.
We tell people stories.
So a friend of mine, who I didn't know very well at the time, her name was Colleen Dulac, went for the March for Life to Washington, D.C. In early 2000. I can't remember the exact date. But anyway, she was a single mom, and she said she went for the March for Life and ended up at a basilica one night, the Immaculate Conception Basilica. And she heard a homily that she said spoke straight to her heart, and that God was calling her to open a home for women, a maternity home, back in her at her home in Carmel, Indiana. And she was like, "Are you sure you're talking to me? Is this really the message that I'm hearing?" And she was very convicted. So she came back to Carmel, and she started telling everyone the story that this was something she needed to do. And she was making rosary bracelets. And
I remember that back in the day.
And she started telling people her story. And I, at the same time, we had three children at the time, and I had started praying in the Adoration Chapel at Our Lady Mount Carmel. And I really wanted to do what the Lord was calling me to do. And when I heard her story, I thought, you know what? I think I'm supposed to help you. So anyway, that's how the journey began. And we met for lunch not too long after that. And we just said yes to this mission. We basically said, yes, we want to do this. We're not sure how we're going to do it.
That's kind of how Catholic Radio started. You know, when you think about, when you hear these stories of people that they were praying and then they hear God, they feel convicted to do something, and then they do it. And I just love hearing these stories, because it's really an act of faith.
Yeah, and I think that the O'Connor House has some miraculous stories, but it really is the fruit of prayer, of people listening and trying to do what the Lord was asking them to do. So I think that the O'Connor House is really truly a miraculous. But the name, the O'Connor House, was really through meeting with Colleen, and I met with Monsignor Duncan about what we should name the maternity home. And he suggested that we name it after Cardinal O'Connor, who is a great defender of life in New York City.
Yes.
And that's really how we got the name. He felt that that would be an appropriate name. And the Sisters of Life were also a part of our journey, and they are they're the founder of their organization too. So
it's
kind of a good tie-in.
Well, it seems like, you know, when we talk about, sometimes people associate Catholics with, and I know the O'Connor House is a nonprofit. Right?
That's right.
Yes. So, Nancy, do you want to talk about that? And then I'll go. I was going to talk about how sometimes Catholics are kind of billed as anti-abortion, which we are. Mm-hmm. We're for life. Mm-hmm. But this is a different kind of ministry in the sense that it really is helping in a practical way,
right,
women in crisis pregnancy. So how do you get the people that you serve? How do they find out about you? How do you connect to them, or how do they connect to you?
Well, and go back, Bridget, just to your earlier question, we are a nonprofit.
Okay.
We are a 501c3 public charity, so that allows us to serve and provide tax exemption and also receive some tax exemption. So that's amazing. And we really are an avenue for women in a variety of ways, or they are able to connect with us in a variety of ways. A lot of our moms come from Marion County, and there's a resource line that's in Marion County. It's 211, and it's to provide resources for anybody who is in poverty and looking for either housing or health care or food safety and security.
Okay, so, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Yep, mm-hmm. So they're able to connect with us through 211. Another way is often if a woman is pregnant and she does not have a residence or health care, her first place of service for her baby would be the emergency room. And so if she goes to the emergency room and she finds that they're asking a series of questions and she does not have a permanent location, often social services will get involved, and then they're able to connect with us.
Okay.
Our house director does a really good job of helping to really reach out into the community and share who we are to resources that may need to use the O'Connor House. And then finally is just online. With online presence these days, and even free online services in libraries and institutions, we've had women from outside of Indiana able to find us. And we currently have a mom with us who her mother found us from Texas.
Wow.
Oh. And we have another woman with us who came to us from Virginia. And that's rare. It's an exception, but we do have presence outside of Indiana as well.
Now, when with a lot of programs for unwed mothers and people with unexpected pregnancies or unwanted pregnancies, there are programs where they offer, you know, teaching and help and one thing or another, but they don't have a four walls, brick and mortar place.
That's right.
O'Connor House, mm-hmm. rather than just a program, is a real physical place.
That's right. And one thing we like to say, there are a lot of crisis pregnancy centers around the state, and but what we do is very unique in that we do house the women. So we are a home, and the first thing we do is provide the basic needs, which is, you know, shelter, food, clothing, transportation. But then beyond that, we offer so many other things. If the women are willing to follow the program, it can be life-changing. And certainly we've seen that over the years. Now we've been doing this since our doors opened in 2005.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we're, you know, what, 13 years in. And it was so many miraculous stories. But I think what I like to say is that we say, come live with us. We will love you and we will help you. And we'll show you a new way. So that is really our desire, is to instill hope in the women. And then that lends itself to even their children. And we look at now our program at breaking the cycle of generational poverty. And we're learning a lot about that. And I think we're doing a significant job in our community in helping those women.
So if you're just joining us right now, because you're probably wondering what all this is really about, this is really interesting information. Mm-hmm. We're talking with Chris Busick. She is the founder of the O'Connor House, and Nancy Imhoff, who is the development director. I want to talk a little bit about, you mentioned breaking the cycle of poverty. What is all involved with that? Because really, a lot of these women, maybe not all of them, but maybe the reason they're in the situation that they are in is maybe because they're in poverty. Is that a fair assumption or not?
For sure. I think that, as Chris mentioned, you know, we've really grown and learned so much, too, since the inception. And really, our programming and the resources that we offer are truly to empower these women to be able to transition to independent living. And we like to say that we offer the ability to have a transformative change, but also a generational impact, because it really does affect their children and potentially their children's children. And as Chris mentioned, we've had some amazing stories, and I would love to share just one.
Go ahead.
We had, and this was early on in the inception of the O'Connor House, but we had one mother who came to the house from Marion County. She had been in prison and was living on a park bench, and she found the O'Connor House and truly said it was a place that she felt the first time unconditional love. And it was really through that love, being the hands and feet of Christ, and the programs and the ability to stay there for a period of time and really work through the program, that she was able to live independently. She had at that time some mentors that were volunteers at the house that were a couple, and they became significant in her life. She gave her life to Christ, and she is living locally. We still know her. She still comes back and shares her story as an alumni, and she's one of the best moms that I know, and truly, and her life has been changed. But what I see even beyond that, which is so just beautiful, is her son is in elementary school. He's on a very large swim club. He swims daily. He wants to be Michael Phelps when he grows up. And he literally just has a very different life experience than his mom. And his choices may be different because of his life experiences and because of the mom that he has. And you think about just the reciprocal effect, or the ripple effect of that, and how his children and children's children. And I personally love that, and how God works through the O'Connor House and works through the lives of all of those staff and volunteers, and those that are praying for the O'Connor House. And that's just one great example.
We need to take a quick break, and we'll be back for more Faith in Acts, and stay tuned.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor, tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
You know us as Catholic Radio Indy, but we're so much more than just radio. We're a voice for the church that's seldom heard in our chaotic world. We're confirmation for the strong of faith and encouragement and answers for those in doubt. We're there to rejoice with your triumphs and to be a voice of consolation through the dark times. We're a voice for vocations and proudly pro-life. We are Catholic Radio Indy and CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer, and I'm here with my guests, Chris Busick, the founder of the O'Connor House, and Nancy Imhoff, the development director. So we're going to talk a little bit about mentoring and how that takes place at the O'Connor House. Who are the mentors, and what exactly are you mentoring them in, if that makes sense?
Sure. Well, we added a mentorship program about a year ago. We had a board member who was very passionate about this, and she came to us and had this amazing plan, because what we've learned is that if you have a mentor in your life, if you have one person who really believes in you and is willing to walk through difficulty and even when times get hard, that it can make a huge difference in the life of especially the women that come to us once they get outside or leave the O'Connor House.
And how long do they stay, just as a rule? generally?
So they can stay up to 18 months if, you know, they're working the program. We have made exceptions. Some of the moms have stayed even longer if they're doing a really good job. We encourage them to get a job or finish their high school diploma. That's one of the first things we have them do. If they come and they don't have their high school diploma, then that is paramount. That is something that we work with them. Most of the women, by the time they leave, they have their high school diploma. And we, you know, through the mentorship program, and I know Nancy will talk about this, one of the greatest advantages of coming to the O'Connor House is that we encourage education, not just getting your high school diploma, but continuing, because we know that
career planning, basically, yeah. What are you going to do to
right.
support yourself and your family as you move
yeah.
out?
And we know through education, you know, wages then increase, and that can be paramount to them breaking the cycle of poverty. So I think Nancy can speak to more about the program and how that works.
Yeah, and just to touch a little bit, in addition to the mentors, the staff, when the women first come, a couple of the goals that they talk about with the moms that, and really, it truly is empowering the moms to be able to transition to independent living. So mm-hmm. some of the goals include really being able to get childcare for sure, mm-hmm. health care for the baby and their children, as well as for the moms. They work on obtaining a job. One of the programs that we have is a savings program. So as the moms work, they're actually saving 60% of what they make, and they're learning how to do that on a monthly basis. And it really is, again, providing them skills that they will take with them once they leave the O'Connor House. And they have that nest egg that they're able to use for security deposits and rent. That's such a critical part of our program. They actually tithe back to the house 10%, so they feel vested in really caring for the home and that it's part of their community. And then the mentor program, as we talked about, is key in helping to support all of those goals. So the mentor will work one-on-one with the mom in helping them to look at their different childcare options, maybe go visit, help them in looking for jobs and maybe taking them to fill out applications. So they're helping to support and carry out some of the goals that we're working on as well at the house. So it really is a beautiful combined effort, and there's so many people coming alongside to journey with these moms. And as Chris mentioned, really, we're getting better at recognizing what the barriers are to generational poverty. And one of those barriers is a lack of a support system. So this mentor program has been critical and has been beautiful. And some of the relationships that have been formed mm-hmm. out of that, it's just been so wonderful to see. We have five of our women, one that's currently at the house, four that are alumni in the mentor program.
Oh, yeah, that's neat.
Yep, that are all in some type of further education program in college of some sort, along with working and taking care of their kiddos. And one of those moms was recently asked to be included or invited into the Honor Society
wow,
at Ivy Tech.
Very good.
So it really, we see the fruits of all of that support, and the moms really feel that.
Now, how many women are we talking about when you talk about, what is the capacity of the O'Connor House?
So the house, when it was built, we were able to build a new home in 2011, basically opened a new home, and that was kind of a miraculous story too. But when we opened our new home, we were able to design the home so that we could house up to eight women and their children at one time. So, and then we have a staff, an overnight staff, so it's basically a nine-bedroom home. So it's a very busy place when it's full. And it's full of, if we love for volunteers or people to come and visit so they can kind of see us in action. And we'll talk more about that and how they can do that. But the house is large, and it takes a lot to keep it going 24/7.
Sure. Is it full most of the time?
Yes, most of the time. There's periods where some of the moms will leave or they'll graduate from our program, and we have an intake line, and so we're constantly being called, and there's people on our waiting list. So yes.
Now, do parishes and other organizations contact you with potential people to live at the Connor House?
Sometimes that happens, but I think Nancy mentioned that most of the women come through 211 Connect, our website, or through word of mouth, through hospitals or crisis pregnancy centers.
I would imagine it's rather expensive to support eight moms and families. I mean, how are you funded, and how do you pull this off? I mean, it's pretty miraculous if you think about it. It's a beautiful home.
Thank you for asking.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
Send in money, please.
Well, you really hit the nail on the head. I mean, if you can imagine, it is like eight small families that you are supporting at one time.
Plus a house.
Plus the house, plus the staff and the programming. And I think both Chris and I are just, you know, it's so proud, and you see God at work when you realize that we have served over 365 women, children, and babies.
That's a big
since
number.
The assumption. Yes, yeah. It is a big number. Mm-hmm. So we are supported almost exclusively by private donations and corporate donations. We don't receive a lot of government support. We are a Christian organization, mm-hmm. And that's such a crucial part of our foundation. We do have some grants, but it's primarily individual donations. And our dream we talk about is really to be sustainable, mm-hmm. and ensure that we're able to do this work for a really long period of time.
Now, do you have needs too, that other than financial? I'm thinking maybe
diapers,
diapers for
that's
the babies,
first thing that
cars for the mothers to get to work, refrigerators to keep the food cold.
Oh,
well, what kind of needs do you have?
Absolutely, and thanks for asking. So in addition to the financial piece, and as we're getting to the end of the year, that is just a time of philanthropic giving for a lot of people. So we are so appreciative of any support that is given to the O'Connor House, and it is, we feel like we're very good stewards of that support, and we just want to, you know, say a thank you. If anybody's listening that has been a supporter, it is huge. But it's not just financial. You know, we talk about time, treasure, and it is that time. It's volunteer work. We have so many opportunities. In fact, I just brought a couple of quick statistics. So last quarter, we had 1,114 miles driven by volunteers.
Wow, that's a lot.
We had 129 hours of babysitting and over 490 volunteer hours in a quarter. So you can see it takes a lot of help. So we love having people come and tour the home. We love seeing how they might want to connect. And there's lots of great opportunities for folks to get involved. And lastly, I'll just say, really to pray. I mean, Chris had mentioned that there's been so many stories that we have seen, that we've seen God's hand all over. And that prayer is what really sustains us. So again, if you're out there listening and if you've been praying for the O'Connor House, keep them coming. And thank you so much.
Yeah. What are some of the volunteer opportunities? If someone were listening and they wanted to volunteer, what are the types of things that they could volunteer for? So they're kind of thinking, I want to do something, but what are the options?
Well, some of our crucial needs and our go-to volunteer opportunities are transportation. We drive the moms to their doctor's appointments,
yeah,
to work, to school. And so there's lots of transportation needs. And they're all within a 5-mile radius, mm-hmm. and quick trips. And, it doesn't take a lot of time. So that's a great way to plug. And also to talk to the moms, mm-hmm. in the car. And we call that an informal mentorship, because you really have some great conversations. I know I did with my kids in the car. So that's a super opportunity. Babysitting. We provide a lot of babysitting for the moms while they're in counseling, while they're visiting with their mentors, while they're taking, while they're in life skill classes or our Bible studies. So babysitting is also a great way to connect. And then we just love learning about what gifts and skills people have. Sometimes we don't even know of a need until someone shares something that they may be good at, and we make an amazing connection. So we have 2 volunteer information sessions a month,
okay.
And we love people to check those out and check us out and maybe share some of our stories and get to see what we do firsthand and really be able to connect people in ways that they feel called to give.
Could you go ahead, and we still have a little bit of time left, but since you mentioned the kind of the online connection, could you mention your webpage?
Sure. Our website is www.theoconnorhouse.org, and it's pretty easy to navigate, so please check us out. There's volunteer information. There's information just about our history, who we are, our staff and our board members, so we would love to connect with anybody that would like to learn more about us.
So what has it been like for the two of you for your faith life? I mean, how has it impacted you? I mean, obviously you're making a big impact on these women, but what about for you? What it's been like?
Well, I think for me, it's been life-changing because I was there from the beginning, and I know what my capabilities are, and they weren't at the time. You know, like I said, I was a mom, and we have 4 children, and I didn't really have the skill set to do what I thought God was calling me to do. What I would find along the way is that he would just send the right person at the right time. And there's so many times.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it really is. And so, you know, as a board, we would pray. You know, we'd have times where we would need, maybe an attorney, or we would need someone with marketing skills or whatever it was, and a builder. And they would come. And I know even when we were looking for our first home, we couldn't find the right spot. Not a lot of places wanted to have a maternity home in their backyard, but we had 3 anonymous businessmen that came alongside and said, hey, we will give you an opportunity to rent one for $1 a year when we started a little home off Aurora Road. So things like that would miraculously happen.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah. I can't believe we're out of time, but thank you so much for being our guest. So to check out the O'Connor House, that would be theoconnorhouse.org, right?
Yes. Thanks for having
us. Thank you so much.
God bless you.
Thank you.
You have been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is a presentation of Catholic Radio Indy. You can hear this episode of Faith in Action again or any past episode at CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a suggestion for a guest or topic for a future program, please call us at 317-870-8400 or email Jim at CatholicRadioIndy.org.